You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Thursday to you. Thanks for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday, be it 6:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the afternoon, be it on 91.5 WMIE, or be it on WWBC 99.9, 94.7, or 100.7 FM. However you've tuned in here today to tune in to hear a word from God today, I'm grateful for you. I thank God for you. Lord God, I thank you for all of these listeners. Thank you to all of the followers here, everyone that's addicted to your word who tunes into this program. I thank you for the work that you're doing. I pray for these listeners today and their families. I pray you do a great work in my family and friends out here today that are tuned in, Lord. To you be the glory. We praise you. We listen for your voice now through your word. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers as well. And it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'll let this opening play on Friday as well. You're going to hear a sermon I preached a couple months ago as we're going through the book of Revelation, which, by the way, is where I'm going to be this weekend. We'll be in Revelation chapter 16. We'll be looking at the whole chapter, and we'll be looking at all of the final bowl judgments about to come upon the world. So that's where we're at. Sunday morning at 10:30, you are invited. We'd love to see you. Here now on the radio today, Thursday and Friday, will be the corrupt church at Thyatira. That's what we're going to look at. And they were putting up with a woman there, a woman teacher. Now, most Greek manuscripts read, as the Lord Jesus says, you tolerate your wife, Jezebel, who teaches and seduces my servants to sin, to commit sexual immorality. That's where we're at here today. You could find yourself in any one of these different, of these seven types of churches revealed here in the book of Revelation. Hopefully you'll find yourself in the faithful church. If not, I encourage you here today to get in the faithful church, which has a blank check from the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, we'll follow up this sermon here coming up next week with that faithful church at Philadelphia. Okay, so all depending on what day this is, Thursday or Friday, it will be either part one or part two of this message, The Corrupt Church of Thyatira.
Number five, their endurance, Greek word hupomeno, endurance. That's something that gets developed on the inside of you. A spiritual fortitude that through osmosis, that is, mix one part trial, one part waiting on the Lord, and 10 parts the power of God, transforms you into a spiritual giant. That's what this hupomone is. This endurance gets developed on you when God sees you through whatever trials that you're going through. That's how David got through these things. That's how these guys got through these. That's how David can say, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. This gets developed through trusting in God and having him see you through your adversities and the troubles and trials you're going through. He commends them for this. Then for good measure, the Lord Jesus loves work so much, He now says it again to this pastor. He says, and as for your works, the last are more than the first. Meaning their works were growing. The things that they were doing as the Lord's hands and feet were increasing there at the church. More money came in, more people came in. The church started to expand their outreach. Let us go and do likewise. How can we do the same? Answer, by increasing our outreach. I mentioned before about supporting Pastor Al in Jerusalem. Now, he pastors a Baptist church there in Jerusalem. And I love the opportunity to invest in kingdom work through someone that we know right there in Jerusalem. He's invited me to preach there. As a matter of fact, he's invited me to preach in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And I'm really excited about that opportunity. He's invited me to be a professor at his Bible college here online. All right, so that does it for the commendation. Now let's see why this church, who so far seemed to be doing okay, let's see why this church has gone down in history as the corrupt church. Starts with the word nevertheless. You see that? Verse 20. In spite of all the good things that you're doing, nevertheless. Nevertheless, I've got a few things against you, he says, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality, and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now, my translation, if you have my Bible, or if you have a New King James Bible, you'll notice in the margin there, a capital M. See what it says? It says, you allow your wife, he's talking to the pastor. This corrupt woman was the pastor's wife in the church. You allow your wife to do these things. Notice, too, no one else calls her a prophetess, but she calls herself one. And it should be easy to tell the difference, especially today when there is no need for a pastor anymore. So that actually makes it very easy today. A prophet spoke the word of God before it was written down and before it was bound in Highland goatskin like this is. I've got it written down. I can smell it. This is 20 years old, and it still smells. We interrupt this sermon for this special sniff. If this don't strengthen you, nothing will. Have a whiff of this Highland goatskin. Some poor goat running around the Highlands up there in Scotland. Now is around the pages of my Bible. Remember, God in various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. Very easy for you to tell today. You see, I've got it written down, go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. A prophet would get up and speak that. I have it written down, apart from me, Jesus says, I can do nothing. I have it written down, what shall we say to these things? If God be for me, we've got that written down. You don't need a prophet to get up over here and speak that. You've got it written down. You already know it. You've got it right here written down. I've got it written down, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've got it written down that the wages of sin is death. I don't need a prophet to tell me that. The word of God tells me that. I've got it right here. These were the things the prophet spoke, not where Aunt Josephine hid her secret stash of yodels or where Uncle Harry hid his will. The prophet said, stop sinning or else something worse is going to happen to you. Those are the things the prophet spoke. Verse 20, again, nevertheless, I've got a few things against you, he says. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, or your wife Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So there's the charge against the pastor of, let's call it, Thyatira Christian Fellowship. A woman there has taken the position of prominence and leadership contrary to the word of God. And has told the people in Thyatira what they want to hear. You can continue to sin, but it doesn't matter anymore. You're already forgiven, is what they say. It doesn't matter. See, this is a feel-good gospel. Take thine ease. It doesn't matter how you live. I hear it on the radio all the time. It doesn't matter how you live. The Lord Jesus died for your sins. That's true. The sins you're going to commit tomorrow, that's true. So it doesn't matter how you live. See, that's when truth adds up to a lie. You can live how you want, and it doesn't matter. There's no consequences for it. Because it does matter. Sin still does matter to God. Look at this church here. Look at this warnings he's telling this pastor here at this church. Throw in a little Gnosticism there. The body is not important. Only your spirit. That's the problem at the first century. It don't matter what you do with your body. It's only your spirit that matters. And your spirit's one spirit with the Lord. Don't matter how you live. Gnosticism. Also, he mentions one thing that's lost on us here, in our society at least, but not in other places, this sin of eating food that's been sacrificed to idols. We had a young man from India, I don't know if you guys remember him, sat over here, was here for about 3 weeks. And he mentioned to me that this might not be a big deal here, but in India, this was huge, a huge problem there, but not here. This was a huge offense in a country like that. Now, a teacher in the church was causing believers to stumble in Thyatira because this was a great sin to them. The Bible says, sorry, Andy Stanley, but the Bible says in Romans 14, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. But let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Also in verse 14 of Romans 14, it says, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. So this was a big deal. Offending a brother with your food is a big deal. Remember that, all you broccoli lovers out here. Broccoli is offensive to me. Don't even cook it near me. I don't want to smell it. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Causing a brother or sister to stumble because of your food is not good. And for that matter, telling them it's okay to engage in fornication outside of marriage is going to cause the Lord Jesus to make this upcoming threat to this pastor that we're about to read here. Now, here's what I've learned too, studying for this sermon this week, okay? Violating your conscience is a scheme from the devil. Violating your conscience is a scheme from the devil. That's why he mentions both of these here. If he can get you to violate your conscience once, then you'll do it again. It's like those guys in India, they walk in on them hot coals. Might hurt the first time you go on it. Won't hurt as bad the second time you walk on them. And then before you know it, you don't feel it at all. Violate your conscience once, It'll be easier the next time you do it. And then easier and easier if you violate it with what food you'll eat, if that offends you. Remember, whatever is not from faith, Paul said, is sin. Violate it once, you'll violate it again. Violate it with food, it'll be much more easier to violate it with something else that offends your conscience. Remember, your conscience is a gift from God. Offend it with something like food, you'll offend it again with something far worse than food. Also notice, all the good that they had done was now all forgotten. These guys had five things, and this is one of the worst churches out of the seven. But they got commended for five things that they were doing great and doing right. All thrown out the window because of this. We've gone from commendation to this next threat, given ultimately to all the people there that were part of Thyatira Christian Fellowship. Verse 20, but I've got this against you. You tolerate your wife Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time so that she might repent, and she does not wish to repent. Again, that's a majority text reading. Your Bible might read a little different there. But you'll see it in the margin. She does not wish to repent of her fornication. So there's the first response. Is he gives her time to repent and he's like, who cares? What, me? I'm forgiven. What does it matter how I live? I've been forgiven. He died for the sins I'm going to commit tomorrow. So what's the difference how I live today? There is a difference. He still cares about it. Obviously, read this letter here. We're snooping in on this pastor's email that he got from the Lord. He says, I gave her time that she might repent, and she does not wish to repent of her fornication. Proverbs 30, verse 20, it says, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I haven't done anything wrong. Now, verse 22. And here comes the threat. Behold. Or in other words, watch this, Smedley. Isabel walks by me the other day. She goes, you know what? She says, I want to know what a Smedley is. You never watched cartoons as a kid. Behold. I am casting her into a sick bed and those, see, not just her. I am casting her into a sick bed and those that commit adultery with her into great tribulation if they do not repent of her works. Notice he holds the church accountable and responsible for the evil that's being taught there at the church. I'm casting her into a sick bed. That Greek word kline means a stretcher. Meaning, to put in modern vernacular, they're going to haul little Miss Prophetess out of here on a stretcher. And for everyone at Thyatira Christian Fellowship, the Lord Jesus himself is personally going to see it that you find yourself in great tribulation. Heaven forbid you're the generation that's around when the Lord Jesus comes back. Remember, you could find yourself in any one of these seven types of churches. You don't want to be found in a corrupt church at the end of the age, because that great tribulation is going to be a little bit worse. And this is a timely word for today. If you find yourself in the corrupt church, where one of the leaders tell you that sin does not matter anymore and that it doesn't matter how you live. Because as you've seen for yourself, it does matter. How you live does matter to God. But he's not done. verse 23. He said, I will strike her children dead. So much for baby Jesus away in a manger. This is how the Lord Jesus Christ thinks today about sin. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches reins and hearts. Funny, this Greek word translated rein in the King James. It's the Greek word for kidney, and it's the Greek word for your intestines. I am he who searches intestines. Hopefully he does that before lunch. Reminds me of that old figure of speech, you know? I had a gut feeling about dot, dot, dot. I had a gut feeling about so-and-so. I had a gut feeling about that church down the street there. And he is capable of knowing even your gut feeling. He knows it. He searches your intestines and your heart. And that when you know that something wrong is going on in that church and you just stay there anyway, because what? The music's great. They got the largest Sunday school. They got the best kids program. But they don't ever talk about sin, and they let it fly. And you had a gut feeling all along that something was wrong there, and you just stayed there. He can search even your gut feeling. I am he that searches your intestines and your heart. He knows your gut feelings. Those that knew it in your gut and did nothing. You did nothing. Remember, his eyes are like a flame of fire, he told the pastor of this church. Penetrating eyes. He knows even your gut feeling. You can't lie to him. He knows your gut feelings. Again, I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know, huh, I bet. You don't see that too much. Could you imagine that? Boy, did you heard what happened to the first church of Smedley down the street. There wasn't enough ambulances in the whole town to haul everyone out here on the stretcher. Because the pastor of the church got up and told people, it don't matter if you sin anymore. The Lord Jesus already died for your sin. What does it matter how you live? You see, he could take a truth and come up with a lie out of it. Yes, he died for all of your sins. Yes, you've been forgiven for the ones you're going to commit tomorrow. But the Bible says if we sin willfully after receiving a knowledge of the truth, there are no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment. He's going to hold the pastor accountable for this. And the people. Now here this morning is a valuable lesson for us regarding sickness and death. And where it comes from. Once again, we see that not all sickness and certainly not death all comes from the devil or from malignant spirits. Now, why don't you guys turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, except for Jim Ross and Dwayne. Why don't you guys come up here and uncover this table for me, please. Thank you. If there's not room for that, you can put it up here if you don't have room for it.
Make a little room for it. Thank you.
Thanks. Why don't you guys just sit in the front here for a second? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting in verse 27. What a perfect way to have communion with what I just said to you. Not all sickness and not all death comes from the devil or malignant spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. It says, therefore, the Apostle Paul writes, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Means there's more to this communion than meets the eye. And like this church was sinning ignorantly, willfully, she's unwilling to repent, that when you do those kind of things, sickness, death, judgment can come as a result. Likewise, these same things, he says, can happen from doing this in a flippant manner. He who eats and drinks, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29. He who eats or drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, sleep is a euphemism for what, church? Death. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not understanding and recognizing that this is holy. Hence the name Holy Communion. There's more to it than meets the eye. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Though there are threats in here from doing it wrong, I believe blessings are ours by doing it right. Amen? God is good. Certainly, if we do and take communion the right way, nothing but good is going to come out of that. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember, he's coming back again a second time apart from sin. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So, same as Jezebel's followers who were unrepentant, the Lord Jesus is still on the throne today, and he expects your obedience then and now as well. All right, Pastor Darren.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.